plaintiffs allege four claims: negligence, trespass, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and intentional interference with economic relations. The majority of the facts that the plaintiffs allege in support of those claims occurred on May 1st of this year in an area immediately surrounding the premises of Cider Riot. Both plaintiffs and defendants have submitted affidavits and video evidence that describe and depict those events. No single piece of video evidence or affidavit tells the whole story of what happened outside of Cider Riot on May 1st. And taken together, the evidence as a whole paints a picture that is somewhat ambiguous in certain ways and subject to multiple and competing interpretations, each of which is arguably reasonable. From that evidence, could a reasonable trier of fact conclude that it is more likely than not that certain individuals outside Cider Riot on May 1st engaged in conduct that went beyond constitutionally protected speech or demonstration and therefore became tortious or criminal? And the answer to that is yes, a reasonable trier of fact could find that. The parties have presented direct evidence that would support such a conclusion. Specifically, the plaintiffs have presented direct evidence to that effect. Could a reasonable trier of fact conclude that more likely than not, Joey Gibson personally engaged in physical conduct of that kind? No, I don't think so. Not from the evidence that I have seen. Finally, could a reasonable trier of fact conclude on a more likely than not basis that Joey Gibson and Patriot Prayer are liable for the tortious and or criminal conduct of the other individuals outside Cider Riot on May 1st because Gibson and Patriot Prayer somehow ratified, coordinated, or directed that conduct? I found that to be a more difficult question to answer than the others. If there is any direct evidence of that ratification, coordination, or direction, it is scant at best.